First Corinthians, the chapter 3, I want to draw your attention to the last verse that we read, the verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In this epistle, we are brought into the ancient city of Corinth, rising up out of the dust of defeat. It became one of the most important commercial centers in the East. Traders flooding through her gates. They not only brought their wares, but sadly, they also brought their vices. They polluting her streets. Her name quickly became synonymous with drunkenness and wickedness. One writer, speaking of her inhabitants, he described them as hucksters and agents of every form of vice. Some of his converts living and breathing a sinful atmosphere. They became carnal and corrupt, being guided by their passions and pride rather than by the precepts of God. They began to stray, becoming factious. They aligned themselves or broke themselves up into small sects and parties. While some of them aligned themselves with Paul, others took the name of Apollos. And they lifting up these names and exalting them as lords of their faith, Paul became distraught. Lifting his pen, he reminded them there was only one foundation and no other person could lay any other. Unless they would err, he reminded them that that one foundation was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in regard to salvation, there are not several foundations, but there is only a single foundation. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is able to save. Indeed, speaking after Pentecost, Peter said in Acts chapter 4 and the verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And drawing their eyes away from Abraham and Moses and away from Elijah, he drew their eyes to Christ and to Christ alone. You see, while man can buy position, he cannot buy pardon. Christ alone is able to save. You know, in his studies of world religion, David Barrett states that there are 9,900 separate religions. Every day, new religions are being added to that number. And maybe you say tonight, but preacher, there are so many different religions. Surely some of those other religions must also be right. Well, if they are right, then the Lord Jesus Christ is a liar. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way. He is not merely a way, but he is the only way of salvation. And tonight, if you're building your hope, if you're building your life upon any other foundation, then your religion, like the Tower of Babel, it will eventually come crashing down. You see, there is only one foundation. And unless you are building your life, unless you are resting your hope upon him and him alone, then, my friend, your soul will be lost. And so I want this evening for a little time to consider Christ our foundation. Firstly, I want you to notice here concerning the foundation, the properties it contains. While Paul on other occasions likened the Savior to a refuge and to the Passover, he now changes images. He no doubt remembering the parable of the wise and the foolish, my builder, he now describes the Lord here as a foundation. But I want you to notice here that this foundation, it is concealed. Speaking in language they could understand, he said in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. When we go back into the Gospel of Luke, we find there a wise man building a house, seeking a firm foundation. We are told that he dug deep. You see, the foundation is normally set deep down into the earth. And when it is set, it is then my covered over. In fact, of the 50,000 golden bricks placed in the foundation of the fortress of Perander, not one of them is visible. And while the foundation is the most important part of a building, holding up the whole structure, it is not normally visible to the naked eye. It is not seen. And like the foundation, Christ is not visible, but rather he is invisible. He is hidden to the natural eye. Indeed, faith entering into the heart of Moses, we're told in Hebrews 11:27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And leaving the idols and corruption of the land of Egypt, he declared the Lord to be invisible. He is able to be seen only by the eye of faith. You see, God is absolutely and essentially in his essence invisible. He cannot be perceived by the natural eye. Surely that reminds us tonight how foolish men are when they seek to make images of God or images of Christ. He is not visible to the natural eye. Maybe you say, well, that may be so, but then, preacher, how can I believe? How can I believe in something that I cannot see? When you go home tonight and you walk through your door, you will flick the light switch and you believe. You believe that the light will come on, and yet you cannot see my electricity. How many children emigrating with their parents, to Australia or to America or to some other distant land, they have never seen their grandparents. But hearing their parents talking about them, receiving a gift on their birthday, receiving a gift at Christmas time, they still love them. You see, sight is not necessary for faith, and it's not necessary for love. You can love, you can believe in that which you have never, never seen. And don't make the mistake tonight of thinking that because you cannot see God, because you cannot see the Spirit of God, that they do not exist. God is real. God is real. And one day you will have to stand before him. Like the foundation, he is concealed. You can see him. But nevertheless, he's there. And he's important. Not only is it concealed, but the foundation is crucial. Setting forth the Savior's importance, he said in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. While the foundation is not always visible, nevertheless, it is important. Paying little attention to it, Bonanno Pisano, building his famous tower in the Italian city of Pisa, it soon began to lean. Although other architects have sought to correct this defect and stop it leaning any farther by adding new tiers to its circular structure, yet it still continues to tilt. In fact, it tilts a farther 20th of an inch every year, and currently leaning some 17 feet to one side. The day will come. The day will hasten. Well, eventually it will tilt, it will crumble and it will fall. Indeed, the psalmist said, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You see, without a foundation, the building, it will eventually crack and crumble and it will fall. You see, a foundation is indispensable. Christ being the only foundation, he is not an extravagance, but he is essential. Without him, there is no hope. Indeed, the Lord speaking to Nicodemus in the darkness of the night, He said in John 3, verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Despite the fact that Nicodemus was a ruler amongst the Jews and was schooled in the law, yet the Lord reminded him that the new birth, it was a must. Without the new birth, without Christ as his foundation, he would never enter, nor would he even see the kingdom of heaven. Christ is essential. Without him, your soul will eventually sink into the abyss and the agonies of hell. My Welsh preacher, on one occasion, leaning over his pulpit, he addressing the congregation, he said, "Friends, I have a question to ask you tonight." He went on to say, "I cannot answer it. You cannot answer it. If an angel from heaven were here, he could not answer it. If a devil from hell was here, he could not answer it." Every eye fixed upon him. He then, quoting the words of the Apostle Paul, he said, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" You see, in life there are things that you can do with, and there's things that life that you can do without. But I want to tell you tonight, that Christ, the only foundation, is not something that you can do without. My friend, without Christ, your life will begin to crack and crumble, and your soul will be lost, and it will be lost for all eternity. Oh, as a foundation is essential to any building, so Christ is essential. You can't do without him. You can do without money. You can do without friends. You could do without church. But my friend, you cannot do without Christ. Without him, your soul will be lost. It will perish for all eternity. Not only is the foundation concealed and crucial, but this foundation is competent. Setting forth Christ as the perfect foundation, he said in verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." You notice here that he speaks in the past tense. This foundation having been laid, it had not only been assaulted by men and by demons, but the Lord coming to the cross, the Father, laid upon him the greatest of all weights. He laid upon him all of the sins of all of his people. However, rather than sinking, he remained firm. You see, Christ is a strong and he is a secure foundation. He cannot slide and he will never sink. Indeed, the Lord taking up this image and describing himself as the great foundation, he said in Matthew 7:25, "And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And though the winds wailed and the waves lashed against it, it did not crack, nor did it crumble." Christ is a solid and a sure foundation. The storms of judgment cannot move him. Edward Moe, taking up his pen, he wrote those words, his oath, his covenant and blood. "Support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay." You see, unlike the foundation of the Tower of Pisa, Christ will never give way. He will never, never sink. Down through the ages, millions upon millions have built their lives. They have rested their all upon Christ. And Paul tells us that they will never be ashamed, or they'll never be disappointed. You see, my friend, if only you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will never let you down. He will never crack. He will never crumble. He will be a strong foundation, not only in life, but in death. My, he is a strong foundation, the only foundation. And I wonder tonight, what are you building? What are you building your life upon? Not only the properties it contains, but I want you to notice the purpose it conveys. While much in modern architecture is decorative, the foundation is not. Being laid deep down into my earth, it performs a vital function. You know that it shapes the building. The Lord working as a master builder, Paul said in verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." The foundation is extremely influential. Where there is a turn upon the foundation, there will eventually be a turn in the finished structure. Indeed, from the foundation of old castles or abbeys, you can work out in your mind its exact shape and its exact size. Where there is a circular foundation, you can judge at one time there was also there a circular tower. You see, to a large extent, the foundation determines the size and the shape of the building. You see, Christ is our foundation. He not only saves us, but he shapes us. He makes us even into his own image. Indeed, Paul, seeking to further impress this truth upon hearts and minds, he wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And coming to Christ, he reminded them that they would then receive a new direction. And they would receive in their lives new desires. Christ transforms the life. Working within the heart, he makes it into his own image. Rufus Henry McDaniel, coming to the Savior, he taking up his pen, he wrote, "I have ceased from my wanderings and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart." And just as the train follows the tracks that are laid down upon the ground, so the man or woman who is resting, who is trusting, who has placed their all in Christ, they will follow after him. You say, "But preacher, surely Christians do sin." Yes, they do. But there is a difference. Before I was saved, I was running to sin. But after I came to the cross, I'm now running away from sin. There was a time in my life when I used to love my sin. But my now, I hate my sin. It grieves my heart. It brings tears even to mine eyes. You see, if tonight only you trust Christ, if only you rest your whole dependence upon him, he will not only save your soul, but he will shape your life. Just as the foundation shapes the building. Even the trials and troubles of life that will come, he will take them, to use them to shape you. Oh, Christ is the foundation, and if only you come to him, if only you throw your whole weight, your whole dependence upon him this evening, he'll not only save you, but he'll shape your life. He'll make you more like him, with every passing day. It not only shapes the building, but you know, it supports the building. Seeing Christ, he said, verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." While the foundation can last without a building cannot last without a foundation. It will eventually begin to crack and crumble, and then it will collapse. The foundation being buried down deep into the depths of the earth, it bears the whole weight of the building. in the storms and even in the sunshine. It carries and it supports the whole building. And you see, like a foundation, Christ not only saves, but he supports his children. He carries them upon his broad shoulders. Indeed, delivering the children of Israel from the bondage of Egypt, the prophet said in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9, in all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them, and he carried them all the days of old. And bringing his people into the howling wastes of the wilderness, the Lord did not forsake them. But as the good shepherd in the parable, he lifted them and he carried them upon his shoulders. Loving the redeemed, the Lord lifts them. He carries them in his mighty power. By the eaglet, the eagle, my looking after her young, there comes a time when she nudges her young out of the nest. In pushing them out of the nest, the little eagle hurtling down towards the earth and seeing death in the face, it stretches out his or her wings and it begins to flap the wings, and suddenly it begins to fly. But being the first time that it has ever flown, its wings are weak, and it's not long until the little eaglet, my, is tired and weary, and soon it begins again to hurtle down towards the earth. But just then the mother eagle comes down underneath, sweeps beneath, and lifts the little eagle and carries the eagle on her back. And I tell you tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is even more gracious than the eagle. When you're weary, when you're tired, when you come to that place in life that you feel that you cannot go on, he'll sweep down beneath you. And my friend, he will carry you. He'll carry you through the storms and difficulties. You see, Christ not only saves us, and in saving us, saves us from hell, but he's with us in life. He'll be with you tomorrow. Yes, there'll be troubles. Yes, there'll be trials, but he will carry you. He will lift you up. It also secures the building. In Roman times, the mortar was strong, the stone being taken and laying upon the foundation, it hardening. It became one with it. And through redemption, the soul is joined to Christ. It becomes one, or it becomes part of him. Except the Lord Jesus Christ is your foundation. And you'll be brought into a union that is so close and so strong that for Christ to destroy you would mean destroying himself. It would be like an individual cutting off his arms or cutting off his feet. You see, tonight he wants to be your foundation. He wants you to come and he wants you to throw your whole dependence upon him. And if you do, my friend, he will build up your life. He'll make your life beautiful. He'll make your life to stand out. He'll make your life worth living. And in the trials and troubles, he'll bear you up. Then he'll never cast you off. You'll become one, my one, with him. Oh, tonight is he your foundation. Are you resting tonight upon him? Not only the purpose it conveys, but I want you to notice here the people it carries. Resting upon this foundation, Paul then described them in verse 16 as living temples. And from this description, we see the presence they possess. Look at verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? The reference here is to the temple in the city of Jerusalem. When we go back into the pages of the Old Testament, we find it there being referred to as the Lord's dwelling place. And as such, they becoming living temples. He was indicating here that they would not be in their own. By the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God would inhabit. The Spirit of God would dwell within them. And delivering the sinner, the Lord then dwells with him. He makes his heart his home. Thomas Brooke, the great Puritan writer and preacher, said, "Though heaven be God's palace, yet it is not his prison." In other words, God is not confined to heaven. And tonight, if only you make Christ as your foundation, he will make you into a living temple. And as a temple, the Spirit of God will come and he will dwell within your heart. And he will guide you. He will direct you. And he will never leave you. And he'll never forsake you. Notice also the purity they possessed. The courts of the temple were pure. You remember in the pages of the New Testament how evil men had come into the temple. They had turned it into a place of trade. And the Lord Jesus coming in and seeing it had been turned into a den of thieves, he took a whip, and using the whip, he drove them out. He cleansed the courts of the temple. And Christ coming into the heart, or coming into the temple of the heart, he drives out its pollution. He cleanses away its every defilement. The psalmist tells us in that psalm, he takes our sin and he scatters it as far as the east is from the west. And tonight, if only you come and rest upon Christ, make him your sole trust, not leaning, not trusting on anyone or anything else. He will save you, but he'll build your life. And he'll cleanse you. He'll drive out every sin and every defilement. And of course, then there was the plentifulness they possessed. The temple was a vast structure. Being built in the Old Testament took 150,000 men and several tons of gold and silver to build it. And yet, despite its great vastness, we read in 2 Chronicles 7 in the verse 2, the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. He filled it. And Christ is able to fill the life. He completely satisfies it. Oh, my friend, what is the need of your heart? He's able to fill it. He's able, to meet your need this Sabbath evening. What a beautiful picture, a picture that all of us can understand. He's the foundation. You know that if you go to build your house, you could spend millions. You could, have the best architect. And, when it's up, it could be the envy of everybody. But you know, if you built it upon sinking sand, no foundation, it's going to crack. And it's going to crumble. And when the storms come, it's going to implode. And if you're in it, you'll be destroyed. You know tonight you need a foundation. You need a foundation. And I wonder this evening, when it comes to life, it comes to death, it comes to eternity, what are you building upon? What have you placed your faith in? What are you resting solely upon? Are you resting tonight alone in Christ? Or is it Christ and something else? You know that if you go to build a building and you build part of the building in one foundation and another part and something else, it'll not be long until the cracks begin to appear. And maybe you say tonight, but preacher, I'm building partly on Christ and I'm building partly on myself. My friend, it'll not stand up when the storms come. The storms of life and the storms of death will begin to crack. You see, if you're not to perish, you need to be building on Christ. Your whole weight, entirely, totally upon him. While you're trusting in anything else, there's no hope. There is no hope. Oh, this evening, what are you resting on? If I was to ask you to stand and say to you tonight, what are you depending on? What are you depending upon for heaven? Would you, like the hymn writer, say, I'm depending on the blood? Are you building in Christ? Are you trusting Him? If not, could I urge you this evening to come? He's able to carry you. Doesn't matter the weight of your sin. He's able to bear you, and to bear you up in life, and to bear you up in death. Will you make Him your foundation? Will you rest tonight upon Him as your Lord and your Savior? I trust and pray that you will. Make Him your foundation.